We are going to live and we are going to die. We are going to keep our bodies as long as we want them, and we're going to dispose of them when we no longer want them. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. We're going to live and we're going to die. Well, now, those are interesting presumptions. And those are obvious conclusions for most people in life. You look at the cemeteries and the crematoriums and other places of that nature, and you find they're quite busy. They're quite busy with people going all the time. And the hospitals are quite busy with people coming, being born all the time. Now, what is it that we teach here at the University of Healing? We teach we should return to our original purity and integrity. Now, how do we return to our original purity and integrity? Our original purity and integrity is always there. It's not that we're going to go to some place that we are not familiar with, but what we're going to do is to stop going away from it. To return to our original purity and integrity is to be who we are. We are originally pure and integral. We are originally wonderfully made. Oh, we are indeed wonderfully made. But what do we do about it? What do we do about it every single moment of our life? Every single moment of our life, we feel we have to do what seems to be the right thing to do. Number one, we have a mouth, and we're supposed to breathe air in with that mouth to take it into our lungs. Our lungs are designed to do wonderful things. Our lungs are designed to carry in the air, the oxygen, carry out the impurities. Our lungs are just a marvelous set of things. But what happens when a person is unconscious or not breathing? We put them on the life support system to keep them breathing. Now, breathing is not something important to life. It is important to the body. Life is eternal. Life goes on forever. But the body stops when breathing stops. Now, does the body have to stop when breathing stops? Are we living in a spiritual body, or are we living in a physical body? Are we living in an immortal body? Are we living in a mortal body? What kind of body are we living in? Well, we trained ourselves from day one as we're born that we are living in a physical body. And we get patted on the behinds to get us started breathing properly because we've been so used to the umbilical cord taking care of all of our needs. Now, we have blood running through our veins and arteries and capillaries and throughout all of our system. The majority of the blood is in the brain. And a portion of the blood goes through the entire body. It makes a circuit of the entire body in a moment every day, continuously, around and around and around it goes. And always feeding all the cells of the body, taking care of all these things. It's a plant. It's a plant that does beautiful things. Well, now, we look at a plant and we observe it and we study it and we say, a plant has seeds, and these seeds will grow again when the plant is no longer there. And the seeds will be what the plant was. And the seeds may lie dormant for many years or centuries and still come forth as a living being. The life principle within the seed does not die. The life principle within the seed is something we have not been able to tangibly understand yet, but it's there. It's the original purity and integrity of the seed. You might say the sperm and the egg. Now, which one is it, the sperm or the egg or both? Which has the life principle in it? The women have been told that they can create children within their body without the sperm, and they can have a certain type of activity take place within the body, sort of a hermaphroditic condition, which brings about the living being without having the normal process. Now you see, that's rather rare. Yes, it's rather rare, but perhaps not as rare as we think it is. Really, the life principle is always here. It's always here. It's in your body, it's in my body, it's in your life, it's in my life, it's in your world, it's in my world. And that life principle never dies. That life principle is truly immortal. And that life principle is what's necessary for all objective substance to be seen, to be known, to be aware of. And it's quite fascinating. Now, does our physical body have to die? Well, science tells us that every cell of our body could live forever if it were not fed the destruction. And it's fed destruction by our own thought about us. Our thought tells our body we're going to die. Our thought is going into our systems, into our nervous systems, and it goes throughout our entire body, and it tells our body that we are aging or that we are young. Oh, we could take certain types of pills that would make us feel very young and dynamic and alive, and our whole body would respond to that. But unless we kept taking those pills, we wouldn't respond to them. Now, can we respond to that without the pills? And that brings us to the greatest situation of all. Can mankind exist without pills? Now you say, oh boy, that's a good question. Can mankind exist without pills? Well, now, what do you mean now the pills? Well, the pills are food, water, air. The foods are those simple things. Yes. Can man live without life, the principle of life? Well, that's doubtful. We don't know much about life, but we do know the life principle is what gives life to all that has life. Now, from the beginning, we have been given a body that has within the body the capacity to make all of the vital essences that are necessary for the body to sustain itself according to science. The body can sustain itself with all of the life-giving minerals and nutrients and vitamins and all these things because it provides it for itself. And from the very beginning, it does this after leaving the mother. It has the ability within it to make all these things, and it does it. But because we have become more sophisticated and more educated, we feel we must give vitamins and minerals and various essences to the body to maintain it and to encourage it to grow, whereas it'll grow just fine without those things. But we'll never know that because we don't trust it. We feel we have to give it these pills, we have to give it these energy things, we have to give it these vitamins and minerals and all the things that are necessary to maintain it and keep it going and keep it great. Well, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. But it only shows our creativity. But can we create vitamins, minerals, and other things for the human body in the dimension, in the amount, in the power, in the awareness that the original vitamins, minerals, and other production plants within the body perform that same act? Can we do that? And the answer is no. We don't know the variable need of the body for these various chemicals as time goes on. But as the body ages, and not the body ages, but as the body matures and grows larger and expands, it makes different demands upon the vitamin sources and the energy sources. And so we, in our great wisdom, give more vitamins and more minerals to our body, and our body therein ceases to manufacture its own substances, its own pure essences, which maintain the body in its ideal state. Now, many people who are on heavy doses of pills for one thing or another, they want to stop taking them. They feel they don't want to take them. They don't know why, but something inside of them says they don't want to take it. Now, the doctor said, that's okay. You'll die if you don't take them. I can't force you to do anything to a degree, and so therefore it's up to you. Well, many people have chosen to cease taking the pills that they are prescribed by their physicians, and they have lived quite nicely, and many others have not. Because they stopped taking the pills, they died, or they had the condition in their body exacerbated, grow beyond what they could handle, and they became sicker and sicker and ultimately died. No. Can we stop taking the vitamins and minerals that we've been taking all our life in an instant? Can we stop taking the pills that our doctor offers to us to work with the condition that our body is experiencing just because we say we want to? Well, now, there's no answer to that. That answer must come from each individual. But our body is designed to produce all of the substances necessary to maintain it in its highest and greatest position. And our body will always be able to do that. But the ability to do it becomes less and less prominent when we supply it with substances from another source. And it thinks it no longer needs to do it. It's like the idea of our immune system destroying us, trying to kill us, because it doesn't recognize some things that are going on in us. And the things that are going on in us are the vitamins, minerals, and pills and things that we are putting in from the outside. We are making this a foreign substance to us, and it's quite interesting. And they're trying new substances to put into the body for heart transplants and what have you, that the body will not reject, that the immune system will not destroy, because it's made of a substance that the immune system has not learned to make an opinion about it yet. Can we just right out and out stop taking our vitamins and minerals? Can we just out and out stop taking the pills that we have been given? Well, the answer quite likely is no, because we have conditioned ourselves to think that we need them. But the answer is this. We can stop trying to find new chemicals to solve the old problems. When a condition comes up in our body or our mind, if we could go into meditation and listen to the divine within us, we would hear how we could handle it. Now, what is one of the greatest things that destroys the body and destroys the mind, destroys the human being? The greatest thing that destroys them is stress. Well, now, what a purposeful or purposeless condition that is. Stress is something we do unto ourselves. We allow ourselves to be bothered by what other people do or what other people think we should do. I just returned from about a month-long trip around the world, going to London, going to Europe, going to Nigeria, and I've been speaking at various places night and day, eating foods in various people's homes and various restaurants, living in people's homes and sleeping in beds here and there and everywhere, and having very little privacy where I could meditate and be alone and actually listen to my own inner self. Now, I could always do that, really. I could always do that. Wherever I was, I could do that. I could take a time. I could go off and walk into the forest. I could go off into the jungle. I could go off into the mountains. I could go off anywhere by myself and meditate. But I didn't do that. I allowed myself to be on call, on demand, almost 100% of the time. If it was not for one element, it was for another element. If it was not for the adults, it was for the children. If it was not for the children, it was for the pets. If it was not for the pets, it was for some my hosts and so forth. And wonderful as they are, grand as they are, and how ideally I enjoy that, when you do that, you allow yourself to do things that you wouldn't normally do. At home, I have taught my family and my world that I would like a third of a portion of anything that they eat. And while I'm eating this third of a portion, I am young, vital, dynamic, alive. I tell my family I do not want any chocolate ice cream or any chocolate cake. I do not want any candies. I do not want any things that I do not want. And why I don't want them is my business. I don't need to have a reason. I just don't want it. And they feel that they're so glorious in serving me this cake and in serving me this wine and serving me this sugary stuff and what have you, and more abundant services of food than I would normally take for myself. But I cannot fault them. They're wonderful. I created them. Oh, yes, indeed. I created them in being super generous with me. And they're super generous with themselves, too. They eat very abundantly. And it shows it. Now, it shows it when I am off my diet. Now, what is my diet? My diet is eating what I want to eat. My diet is not eating this or that or the other thing, but it's eating what I want to eat, the volume I want to eat. I have a tendency, as all of us do, of remembering when I used to love to eat 5 or 6 cobs of corn. I love to do this, to do that. And, hey, that's okay. But I no longer am running around on a racetrack anymore. I'm no longer using my body as an energizing device. I'm no longer swimming great lengths and doing great things that my body needs all of that food, which it didn't need in the first place, but which I thought my body needed. Now, when I return from my journeys around the world, I have usually drained my energy. I've usually brought myself to a level of incompatibility with my highest and best. And I have to just sort of regain my energy, sort of recoup, take a nap, relax, bring back my standard of being me. But in the process, my body suffers, and my mind suffers, and my world suffers, because I am not being me. They say you come home from your vacation to take a rest, because on your vacation, you're doing all of the things that you could possibly do. You're filling your time and you're filling your time and your experiences with all of the great and glorious things that you don't normally do. And that's all right. That's all right, because we are training ourselves that we live so many years. Although scientists are showing us that we are now living longer. 30 years ago, when you lived to your 50s and 60s and 70s, you were getting quite old. Today, when you're living in your 70s, 80s, and 90s, you're still middle age. And tomorrow, when you're living in those years, you'll be just in your midlife or earlier. And as time goes on, when you live in your immortal realization, there'll be no year that you'll remember, because your body will always be expressing it most dramatically. Ellen made an interesting comment yesterday. Ellen is the CEO, the director of the University of Healing here. Now, Ellen was saying, isn't it interesting how important people's birthdays are? People love birthdays. And birthdays are just remembrances that we're a year older. I keep telling people I'm 25 years old because that's the mental attitude that I'm maintaining. I have to maintain some year for their satisfaction, not for mine, because I know I'm young, vital, dynamic, alive, and I'm living in that consciousness and in that attitude and in that awareness all the time. But Ellen was saying how important it is for people to have birthdays and to have those birthdays remembered. Now, when I was a young man raising my family, which was yesterday, we had money coming in from our sale of real estate because I was a real estate broker, and we had big months and slow months, and we had all that sort of stuff. And I told my son, don't worry about your birthday. When we have a nice sale, we'll buy something nice that you want to have, so just keep it in mind, and then rather than worrying about your birthday, just keep it in mind for that. Is that fine with me, Dad? Fine with me. And it was. And so, when we had an abundance flow in, as we did often, we went out and had a party, for no reason or another. It wasn't a birthday party, because there was no birthday immediately thereby, but we had a party, because we like parties. And we like to celebrate being having fun and doing things. And then we went out and we bought one or two objects that we had delayed buying, and we bought them and had a great time having them. Now, Ellen says people want to have their birthdays remembered. Now, if you and I want to have our birthday remembered, and we think our birthday is the calendar year that we have, and we should be so proud that we are 50 years old, 60 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old. We should be so proud of that. No way. No way. We should be proud that we don't even remember our birthdays. We should be proud that we have no sign of our birthday. We should be proud that we live in our ideal body. We live fantastically, gloriously, wonderfully now. We should be proud of that. But how can we be proud of that when we continually remind ourselves of our birthday? I had my birthday while I was traveling, and everywhere I went, my friends and students and people I love so dearly, they all wanted to celebrate a birthday with me. They hung up balloons, they put out cakes, they put out wonderful candles, they put out all sorts of lovely things. And just to say, I'm glad you're alive. I'm glad you were born. And I say to him, thank you very much. I think that's just wonderful. And I'm glad I'm born too, because I'm a happy guy. Now, we live in our immortal bodies or our mortal bodies. What kind of a body do you want to live in? Our body is designed to recreate itself. It's designed to live in its absolute state of goodness and wholeness and perfection all the time. Our body is not designed to be ill. Our body is not designed to have problems. Those are things that we put in, and our immune system is fighting those problems. And as we said, that tension is one of the greatest killers of a human being. And tension is one of the easiest things we can do to alleviate from our bodies and our minds and our affairs. Go into peace. Become peaceful. Oh, sure, you say that's so easy. Yeah. It's true. You have to practice it. It's true that you're not in the habit of practicing it. You're in the habit of listening to the radio and newspapers, television. You're in the habit of hearing gossip around the world about all the unhappy things happening here and there. And those unhappy things are in the minority, and they're constantly changing, and they're never stable. Why do we give them any power at all? It's a silly thing to do. So, we take that word tension, anxiety, unhappiness for whatever reason, and we replace it with balance and happiness. Balance and happiness. My friends and associates here on campus at the monastery, the Absolute Monastery, they sometimes have a little tension or imbalance. And I tell them the simple thing to do. You stand every time you stand up from a chair or from your bed, and then you lift one knee so it's projected straight out in front of you, and let the leg hang there, and then purposely move the leg from left to right 3 to 10 times, and then do the other leg from 3 to 10 times. Do that each time you get up, and you will find the tension's all gone from your body. You'll find all the anxiety is gone from your body. You'll find all the irritation is gone from your body. And it doesn't take more than one day of doing this to have it happen, but you must continue it. You must continue it to get the benefit from it. And if you do it for 1 week, every single moment you get up and every single moment you climb out of bed, you do that, you will have your body in such a homeostasis, such a happy body attitude, such a relaxed, peaceful beingness, that all of the anxieties and tensions that were killing you are no longer present. Now, I tell the gang on campus here to do that, the monks. I tell them all to do that. And I tell them around the world to do it. And I have people do it around the world. And they, oh, yes, they can do it so well. They show me how they can do it. But do they do it after they leave the seminar? Do they do it after they leave my presence? Do they do it after I have told them about it? Do the monks on campus do it regularly? No. They say, people would laugh at me if I did that, if I stood up. Our webmaster, we showed it to him, and he said, well, I can't do that when I'm in public every time I get up and do that. I said, okay. I'm giving you a dose of the finest medicine in the universe, free, no charge, and it's free, so you don't take it. Now, if I were charging you $1,000 an hour to give you advice, you might be inclined to take it for a week. If I charged you your life, you might not even bother taking it because you wouldn't believe me. And then you just die. Yes, we're born to live, we're born to die. What do you want to do? Well, Herb, you mean to say that leg lifting exercise that you want to talk about all the time, or that body touching your body, energy massage is so important? No. I don't say they're so important. I don't say they're so important at all. They're not important at all. What is important is to alleviate tension, anxiety, imbalance in our body and our affairs. However we go about doing it, you can take a pill and that'll alleviate it for a while. You can teach yourself to relax, that'll alleviate it for a while. You can teach yourself to do a lot of things, but the exercise that I share with you is so simple and so positive and so dynamic and works so well that if you really did it, you would have all the anxiety out of your system, and you would have no problem whatsoever. But it's up to you. If you think that taking pills is going to make the difference for you, you got another guest coming. You're going to have to just take more pills and stronger pills. The sooner you start taking the leg exercise, the balancing exercise, the harmony exercise, the lack of tension exercise, as soon as you start doing that, then you'll find that even if you continue taking pills, they will be of no value, of no content, because you will have the perfection, the harmony. You'll have the wholeness that you want so dearly. Yes, it is a joke. We know the truth, and the truth sets us free. I don't think that's the right statement. Practice the truth, and the truth sets you free. To know it is wonderful, but to practice it, oh my, how wonderful that is. Are you ready to practice the truth, or are you going to say, I know better. It doesn't bother me. I'm going to continue doing just what I'm doing. And go on your merry way, ignoring the little truths that come your way, because they seem far too simple. They seem far too irrelevant for so grand a problem as you are facing. Well, I say to you, good luck. But know that I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love me very much. Have a wonderful day.